live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 190, pre-Thanksgiving show. Get your appetizers in now before the main course tomorrow. I'm your host, Brandon Reif, joined as always, my man, Jonathan Birdsong. Jonathan, happy Thanksgiving, my man.
Man, happy pre-Thanksgiving to you too as well, Brandon. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Okay, I got you. Yeah, I got you. I thought we had a little flare up there. No, happy Thanksgiving to you as well, man. Happy Thanksgiving to the Crossroads listening audience, man. Dude, so excited about what we got going on tonight, man. I had to do a pre-show. Hopefully you caught it. You know what I'm saying? But, like, no, man, the weather's not necessarily terrible for this time, you know what I'm saying, here in the Circle City. The weather's not necessarily terrible, you know what I'm saying, this time here in November. Not yet, right? But no, man, great. I think we're going to have a great show tonight, and I can't wait to get started.
Perfect. Absolutely. If you are listening on watching on the Facebook Live, let me know if you can hear everything. Everything's coming through smooth on that. I am trying a different platform for that today. Try to make it a little bit easier. So let me know if we get some feedback. Not clear, Justin says. Okay. Well, great. Just what I wanted was the fact that it's not clear coming through. So, okay. I'm going to try a couple different things as we're doing this. Let me know. If not, we'll figure it out along the way. So, Jonathan, things we're going to talk about tonight. NFL, Indianapolis Colts, Buffalo Bills recap. Buffalo just got thumped at home. Big problems there with them. We've got NFL talk. We've got college football talk. The college football playoff, we're one step closer to it right now. We've got the Big Four set up. We've got our recap. We also got our picks for this week.
Yep.
We've got some NBA talk, Pacers, and just around the league in general. A little bit of college basketball. Shout out. We'll give out to the Staticky. Okay. Shout out to the Purdue Boilermakers as well as the Indiana Hoosiers here in the great state of Indiana. So we'll do that and more this evening on the show. Jonathan, Tanner will be joining us as well at 7 o'clock. So he'll be joining us at that point. Trying to think what else. Jonathan, let's dive in. Indianapolis Colts, as you're talking, I'll work on the audio. Indianapolis Colts beat the Buffalo Bills 41-15. Jonathan Taylor, 5 total touchdowns. My goodness, John. Yep. Colts needed a big performance, and they got it on the road.
Dude, I thought it was a little presumptive when people were talking about the Colts is finally 500 for them to be talking about, low, let's get to the playoffs, right? You know what I'm saying? You can cue in, you know what I'm saying, that old former coach who used to say playoffs, right? But like, no, man, as far as this game, as far as Buffalo's, you know what I'm saying, they really showed up and showed out, right? On the road, you know what I'm saying, statistically the number one ranked defense in the Buffalo Bills, you know what I'm saying, they stopped the run. Probably, I think they're like it's ranked second or third in stopping the run. I think they're not after this last past weekend, right? I think they're, you know what I'm saying, as far as like pass protection, they're ranked number one or two. But overall, they're like the number one ranked defense. And the Colts went in there and made them look like they were unprepared. You know what I'm saying? To which, you know what I'm saying, was real surprising to me because I thought the Colts could potentially win. You know what I'm saying? If you see the hesitance in my voice, right, I said potentially win. I thought the Bills, after having the last couple of weeks for them being kind of rough or whatever, I thought they would rebound and kind of, you know what I'm saying, blow the Colts out of the water. That didn't happen. The exact opposite happened, right? So, and then we kind of saw the best Colt. And, again, this ain't no shot for those Carson Wentz fans who you know what I'm saying, who are endearing to Carson Wentz and his tenure here as a you know what I'm saying, short tenure as a coach. But
right.
Jonathan Taylor is the best coach player, period, right now. And I know, you know what I'm saying, like I said on the pre-show, this is a quarterback league, and, you know what I'm saying, last time we were talking about the best player being a running back was probably 2012 when Adrian Peterson, right, won the MVP. Something like that, I think. I do believe he was winning MVP in 2020. So you might check me on that one. But again, man, we haven't really talked about running backs being the focal point or the face of your franchise, man. And I do. He's a special back. He's curbed some of the things that has plagued him since he came out of college, and you know what I'm saying, his first year here as far as the fumbles, right? And he's just, you know what I'm saying, running like a man possessed. You would think he was in a contract year, the kind of numbers he's putting up. So again, right. You know what, Brandon? There's some MVP chance. Like he's definitely the Colts' most valuable player. He would have to, you know what I'm saying,
it's hard for running back to get it.
Yeah, he would basically have to tear the league in the next three games, a whole new rear end, with the same kind of stats that he did this previous game. You know what I'm saying? But like I said, Brandon, another test is coming. Tampa Bay stops the run. You know what I'm saying? If I told you that the Buffalo Bills were like top three, well, guess who's number one as far as stopping the run?
Right.
And Todd Bowles, I know Todd Bowles is a friend of yours, right? That you love, you know what I'm saying, kicking him in the nuts, right? But as far as him being the defensive coordinator, he's probably one of the best. And like, you know, dude, he knows how to stop the run, he knows how to bring a blitz, all those things. So another test is going to come this particular weekend as the Colts play Tampa Bay. But as far as this past weekend goes, sir, you got the Buffalo Bills in your end. You got to, for anybody, and I know there's, Brandon, I don't want to ramble because I know you want to get your 2 cents in. Like, dude, for anybody who said the Colts couldn't beat somebody and not feed off bottom feeders last weekend, it showed that they could.
Yeah. Colts, big performance. The run game, we talk about it all the time. Run the damn ball. And then it worked blissfully this week. Tampa Bay, Tom Brady, probably last time Tom Brady will come to Indianapolis in his career. This weekend, Bucks opened up as -1 favorites. Now they're up to -3 favorites against the Colts. The question is, John, will Frank Wright and Marcus Brady let this offense continue to run the ball, or does Frank have that notion that says, hey, we're going to beat Brady in the air, through the air, and then we're going to have Carson Wentz throw 50 passes, and he wants to beat Brady through the air? Or do you stick with the strategy of the run game, which I think you should do, and the more Brady's not on the field, the less it can hurt you, as we've seen in the past. It happened the other last week against was it Washington. Washington had that 10.5-minute drive, keeping Brady off the field.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Yeah, Washington. So will Frank deviate from the plan? Okay. Well, now Justin says he can't hear. It was clear, but he can't hear anything. I don't know what's going on here.
He got that Android phone, man, so we'll keep it going.
Am I coming through on yours, John? Do you have the stream going?
Yeah. I got the stream going, but the volume's down.
Volume's down. Give me a check. Give me an audio check on that as we're doing it here.
Go ahead.
But yeah, I'm talking. Yeah, it's testing 1, 2, 1, 2, 3. Test. Anything good? Maybe not. Well, I guess we'll find out.
Maybe
our partner StreamYard and Blog Talk, maybe they went on the Thanksgiving vacation a little early. I don't know.
This would be a good weekend for the defense to get a sack. Brady doesn't turn it over too much through the air. We all know that as far as interception. Now, I say that, but he had 3 interceptions last week. Like I said, 3 interceptions against the Washington football team, right? But the main thing how you get to Brady is by you know what I'm saying, making it feel uncomfortable in the pocket, getting sacks, right? And you know what I'm saying, as much, you know what I'm saying, we've been waiting on Quiddy Pay to kind of turn the corner as far as being the next, you know what I'm saying, again, those big shoes to fill when you say the next, you know what I'm saying, who's my guy, what's the guy they're getting ready to honor him here, Robert Morse, you know what I'm saying?
Robert Mathis?
You know what I'm saying? Robert Mathis, shame on me. Dude, I said, here's what's messed up, Brandon. You do this job enough. I'm going to give total transparency. You do this job enough, man. Remember on the show the other day, I said Jonathan Martin, and then, you know,
yep,
in reference to Jonathan Taylor. So shame on me. But, like, no, man, Robert Moore. So, like, you know, Quiddy Pay. We need. I know I said it again. We need Quiddy Pay, you know what I'm saying, and Forrest Buckner as well, to make, you know what I'm saying, to make Tom Brady as uncomfortable as humanly possible, to keep the defense to keep their offense, like you said, on the sideline. You know what I'm saying? That's the only way. Those are the keys, you know what I'm saying, that the Colts winning there. We know we got, you know what I'm saying, some dynamic running back. If not Taylor, you know what I'm saying, Nyheim Hines out there too. I don't know if you know what I'm saying, if the third string, you know what I'm saying, the disgruntled guy, running back's going to be playing, you know what I'm saying, he's in it. But, hell, again, that's the strength of this team.
Right.
Is run block. And hell, again, I have been most critical of Carson Wentz and what he hasn't done, though he has tried in certain situations. What he hasn't done is turn the ball over with a high, you know what I'm saying, as far as interception, with a high degree. And so again, it's a home game. You know what I'm saying? You got mojo going into this game. Use it. Why would you go away from it?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Not sure what's up with the Facebook feed and the audio. We're good on everything else. I don't know what's going on with it. So a little bit of a struggle with that. Give me one second here. I think what we're going to do is just going to go ahead and end the Facebook live stream itself. Stay off of that tonight. Sorry, Facebookers. John, you want to put a post up? You can on your phone. Don't everybody go to the Blog Talk page. They can listen from there. Technology, what can I say? Moving ahead, looking. Vikings and Packers, probably one of the most exciting games that was out there.
Right.
And, my God, I thought the Vikings had it. And then Aaron Rodgers coming doing Aaron Rodgers things. And then the Vikings had a little bit more time on it. Vikings win. A game they should win at home, I would feel, John. But overall, I don't think we learned anything different from what we already knew about these two.
If you believe Aaron Rodgers is hurt to the severity, I think now it's reported that he thought it was. At one point he was saying it was severe turf toe. Now it's a broken toe. I don't know, man. Aaron Rodgers has proven to be sort of a liar coming into this season. So again, I don't know if he's looking for sympathy or anything like that. I don't. When an athlete says that he's hurt or has something broken, you know what I'm saying, in this profession, you're kind of trained not to question them. You know what I mean? But you know what I'm saying, the whole COVID. You know what I'm saying, once you get caught up in the lie, man, you know what I'm saying, it's hard to. It's kind of hard for people to believe you. You know what I'm saying? Are the Green Bay Packers in danger of losing any type of home field or anything like that? No, I still think they figure out, you know what I'm saying, either one or two at some point. They get back to the winning ways. You know what I'm saying? Minnesota is that team. I watched the last couple of weeks, man. That's what they do. They get up on the team and they don't know how to finish games. You know what I'm saying? And that game, they got up on the Packers, and guess what? The Packers came back, and again, instead of not finishing, that's what the Vikings did. They finally finished. They put together a full 60 minutes. So, does that pull away from, you know what I'm saying, what Green Bay's trying to do? You know what I'm saying? Because they have one goal. I'm assuming they have one goal in mind. Of course, the division's kind of wrapped. You can put a bow on that as far as him. You know what I'm saying? If there's a trophy to be given out, they got that. But they're probably looking for a bye for sure,
right.
here in these playoffs. So and like I said, you only get that if you're one or two. NFC is probably, you know, if we don't know who's gonna win, you know, saying if there's a lot of question marks around the AFC, I would say there's almost just as much as around the NFC. You know what I'm saying? There's people like myself that believe in Arizona. There's people like you that don't necessarily quite believe in that style of football can sustain or be winning in the playoffs. So I know you said, you know what I'm saying, we got into a heat discussion about them potentially getting the Super Bowl, and you was like, hell no, right? But like I said, you know what I'm saying, before you get off of that, you got to get the bye. And like I said, Green Bay, you know what I'm saying, they got to lick their wounds this weekend, but I think they bounce back going further.
Yeah. Steelers Chargers Sunday night, John. We kind of talked about this on our side. The fact that Steelers were just kind of outclassed throughout the game by the Chargers, down 17 to start the fourth. I thought it was a wrap. I was ready to turn on Survivor Series the end of it, and 17 Steelers came back, tied it, took some good special teams and defense, and then they actually took the lead. But then the defense broke down at the end, and then the gap of the offensive line where our guy went down for injury, went out there. If two straight sacks kind of puts you at 4th and 32. Not many plays at 4th and 32 you can do. But Steelers lose on the road at but they had three of their top guys. No excuses, but their top three defensive guys were out. T.J. Watt, Minkah Fitzpatrick, and Joe Hayden. So it was already a little bit of a top order. But I do want to give a big shout-out, and the guy doesn't need it from me, but with the workhorse of the team, Cam Hayward was all over that field the other night, John, as a pretty much defensive lineman. He was sprinting down, chasing guys the other night. Mm-hmm. But Steelers lose. Big game at Cincinnati this weekend coming up.
Yeah, I do. I was kind of shocked about the score. You know what I'm saying? Dude, I told you, man, people were shoveling dirt on the Pittsburgh Steelers saying they were done, you know what I'm saying, 4 weeks ago. And, you know what I'm saying, as a fan, I kind of, you know what I'm saying, I told you, man, you got to trust in, like, the organization and kind of what they have. They go through their lumps. They go through their bumps and bruises. They have players out, but usually they have guys, you know what I'm saying, including quarterback. You know what I'm saying? I know, the fan base doesn't necessarily have a whole lot of faith in Mason Rudolph, you know what I'm saying? But you can put, you know what I'm saying, their you know what I'm saying, their bench, their guys, you know what I'm saying, you can trust in that they're going to bring their A effort, you know what I'm saying, and try to squeak out victories. They just kind of got caught behind the eight ball against the Chargers. Justin Herbert, man, you know what I'm saying, he has these games. I don't think he's completely there just yet. A lot of guys want to crown him already. I know Jimmy Johnson said something crazy, Brandon. And I love Jimmy Johnson. Jimmy Johnson said if he was drafting a quarterback, any of them, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? If all things being equal, he said even over Patrick Future from Hall of Fame, Patrick Mahomes, that he would take Justin Herbert. I won't sell out my chair. You know what I'm saying? Because again, he has crazy games like he had against past Sunday, but he also has piss poor games where, like, dude, you thought he looked like. What's the guy with Cleveland? You thought he looked like that. You thought he looked like looked like Baker. Looked like an average. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, they just caught, like Chuck said, he was caught. You know what I'm saying? Charges on a good one. I still think when I look deep into their schedule, and I think, you know what I'm saying, as far as, like, dude, the luckiest team in America has to be the Baltimore Ravens. But with all that being said, man, you know, they still got to play. I do believe they still got to play Pittsburgh twice, right? If I'm not mistaken.
So that division,
though the Steelers are still down, maybe a game and a half. And though I know Cincinnati won this week, and I know Cleveland won this week as well. Dude, that to me, you know what I'm saying, that sometimes that luck is eventually going to run out. And, you know what I'm saying, as these teams start to, you know what I'm saying, clash against one another, the AFC is going to get determined. I think the Ravens will be there. I also think the Pittsburgh Steelers will be there right there. If not winning that division, they're definitely in the wild card.
Okay. Let's see. What else do I have? Let's talk Bears. Man, Bears thought they had a good win there against Baltimore, as we just talked about. And it kind of just pissed the bed with that defense. There's rumors going out that Matt Nagy is going to be fired after the Bears game tomorrow against Detroit, win or lose. I think if they lose the Lions, absolutely. They're done. He's done. He should have been done a long time ago. But then there was another report about a half hour that came out that said the notion to start Justin Fields the first time he was started was from the McCaskies, not Matt Nagy. So
right.
It's just showing. Here's my question for you. Who needs this win more this week? Is it Matt Nagy or Dan Campbell?
I think Dan Campbell's job is safe. When I heard the reports, I won't necessarily go over to recap the game. We all saw what it was. The Ravens run with a backup quarterback, and it was close. The general manager of the Bears. This is, you know what I'm saying, any type of leak, that's basically what we're talking about, media leak about Matt Nagy's tenure as far as being the Chicago Bears head football coach. That's my personal opinion. That came from that particular office, right? So, because it just did. But it's kind of like saving grace for him, isn't it? Like, you can have a great – so think about this, Brandon. And you know it, and as well from a Pittsburgh Steelers fan base, and as I know it as well from being a Colts fan. You can have a great portion or a great whatever, you know what I'm saying, whoever you think a quarterback might be, but if you don't have an offensive line to protect them, your portion's going to get dinged up. Your portion's going to, you know what I'm saying, that's the, you know what I'm saying, your offensive line got to be insured. And then also on top of the offensive line, you got to have receivers. You got to have tight ends who also helping to block it. And you also better have a pretty, you know what I'm saying, pretty good running game, you know what I'm saying, that can also help with a young quarterback. So when I say all that, all those things, man, Chicago Bears don't have all those things. You know what I'm saying? They got an aging defense that won them games in the past with Trubisky and Innocent and other quarterbacks, right? But again, it's aging. So, like, you know, how long do you want the defense to be out there? You want them to score the points too? You know what I mean? That's what the offense is supposed to do. So, the blame game is obviously, you know what I'm saying, in this particular instance, it's coming down to Matt Nagy. You know, we can blame Matt Nagy as well from not racially. I kind of get what he was wanting to do, bring along Justin Fields slowly, because I think he's a football guy. He knows what he got as far as, you know what I'm saying, pass protection, and what he has as far as the offensive line and where it's weak at, and, you know what I'm saying, and what kind of running game and what kind of, you know what I'm saying, below average wide receivers they got. Sorry if anybody from Chicago is listening. It is what it is. But his job is to win football games. His job is also to, you know what I'm saying, assess, you know what I'm saying, the talent level of what he has. They moved, you know what I'm saying, a mountain. They did. They moved a mountain to get Justin Fields, you know what I'm saying? And it, like, sometimes, you know what I'm saying, with all that movement as far as trading assets and whatnot, you might have holes that you can't fill in the draft. You might have holes that you can't fill because the dollar amount doesn't necessarily, you know what I'm saying, speak to your salary cap as far as free agency is concerned. So, obviously, it's going to be a new regime coming, right, as far as the head coach, regardless. I mean, the Bears have to go on a four-game, five-game win streak in order for him to keep his job. And they haven't necessarily shown that consistency to do so. So, obviously, it's going to be a regime change. But, like, is there going to be a regime change with the general manager? You know what I'm saying? One would think, like, okay, yeah, you saved your ass. I'm just being quite frank. You saved your ass right now. But, like, man, if the ownership is saying, yo, the quarterback should have been starting from, you know what I'm saying, let's say game three, they'll probably say, like, who else is responsible for this? It ain't just the coach. It's got to also be, you know what I'm saying, Ryan Pace. So I assume, you know what I'm saying, there's going to be some more heads rolling come Black Monday.
Mm-mm-mm. He may not even make it to Monday. NFL-wise, I guess anything I have to put a bow on it, I guess, this week. Tomorrow, we already talked about Bears and Lions. Second one is the Cowboys and Raiders, which about a month and a half ago, this would probably have been a great game. I think Cowboys probably easily roll in this one by at least 10 double digits. I know they don't have Amari Cooper. There's no CeeDee Lamb. But with Michael Gallup in there and Cedric Wilson and then obviously Dalton Schultz and then Zeke's health, I don't think the Cowboys will have a problem winning this game. And then the nightcap, John, I really don't know what to expect with it. Two teams – and by the way, all six teams on Thanksgiving lost last week. So nobody's coming in rolling in this week. So there's your stat. All six teams lost last week.
Right.
But the Saints in Buffalo, oh, man, no Alvin Kamara for the Saints already, been ruled out. Taysom Hill just got a crazy contract for $90 million from the Saints, which is baffling to me.
Brandon, you got to explain that to me. You got to explain that to me, but go ahead, man.
I guess we're just pissing money crazy away. That's the only thing I could think of, piss money away down in New Orleans.
But, Brandon, he's the backup quarterback. He's also the backup running back.
And the backup, like, tight end.
And the backup tight end. Like, I get it. He's some type of super athlete, man, but, like, he ain't even is he necessarily great at any one of them? You know what I mean? So nope. Like $90 million, they don't think they can get another guy, you know what I'm saying, with Aaron Rodgers being pissy as he is and potentially what Baker Mayfield being pissy, you know what I'm saying, pissed off in Cleveland or the fan base, you know what I'm saying, if you kept the temperature of what's going on with the Browns. Because, you know what I'm saying, Baker's kind of been chiming back with them saying he doesn't really care about what they think. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of some of the, you know what I'm saying, the back and forth that's going on. You can get your – I mean, nobody wants to roll into the next season, you know what I'm saying, an uninsured, you know what I'm saying, but $90 million for him? That's crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. But Bill's coming in, Josh Allen, and them are going to try to – they're going to want to play well in the Superdome. I don't know which team what to expect out of this game right now. I would think Buffalo would right the ship. They need to, especially because I don't have my shark music, John. But if I had my shark sound right now, and I would do da 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 da, I would be doing that right now because look who's on top of that AFC East: Mac Jones and the New England Patriots. John, the regime is back.
The evil empire. Yes, the evil empire is back. And you don't want to get two or three games behind them. I think right now they're one game behind the New England Patriots. But like the New England Patriots are feeling good about themselves, and they have a quarterback. Though he's a rookie, he's managing games and not making large mistakes. They're doing Bill Belichick things up in New England again, winning with defense, winning with time of possession, winning, you know what I'm saying, winning, quote-unquote, the Patriot way. I'm saying, man, you know, this was technically, Brandon, when we started our football talk early in the fall, we had, you know what I'm saying, the Buffalo Bills kind of running away with the AFC East, as a lot of people did, and also being potential Super Bowl contender. They don't look like either right now. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying anybody needs to be fired or anything like that. They just kind of regressed or not been able to handle the moment of being not necessarily the hunters anymore, but the hunted.
Let me ask you this. I'm going to give you either or, and I want you to just give me the team and maybe 5-6 words as to why. We'll do like a speed round. Buffalo Bills or New England Patriots?
Ooh. Right now, yeah, Bills. I'm sorry, Patriots, yeah. Seriously.
Buffalo Bills, Kansas City Chiefs.
Right now, the Chiefs on the rise.
Buffalo Bills, Baltimore Ravens.
Ooh, that's about even. Because again, at some point that luck's gonna run out. So I think that's about even. But if you had to twist my arm about it, I'm happy to go with the Ravens because I know at some point Lamar's gonna come back and put his Superman cape on.
Buffalo Bills, Tennessee Titans.
Oh, man. Damn, you're going down the line, aren't you?
I'm trying to get a gauge as to...
Do we think Derrick Henry's going to come back? Right? We think
Derrick Henry's going to come back.
That makes them a different team, different caliber type of team, more dangerous. Right now, you know what I'm saying? Though they took a loss, I would edge Tennessee.
And then Buffalo Bills, Indianapolis Colts. And I know this is a trick question because Colts just beat them. But you got to believe you're not going to have the same performance again by Buffalo. So probably a closer game. But if
Right.
And Colts back in Buffalo again?
Right now, you got to go with the mojo. You got to go with the Colts. And that ain't the homer in me saying that.
You got three or four teams now over Buffalo, if you would. I'm just curious kind of where you kind of had them in the pecking order. So that's interesting now.
Okay.
Perfect. 6:30, some part of the hour here. We're going to talk. We've got college football coming up with Tanner. He'll be joining us in a little bit. Let's go NBA, John. Indiana Pacers. Pacers were initially 5-point favorites in tonight's game against the Lakers with the news that Anthony Davis is out with the fever and few flu symptoms. LeBron is in. The line's moved now to Pacers minus 6.5, and I've seen a few of them go to minus 7. Indiana put on a clinic the other night, John, against the Chicago Bulls in Chicago. And we talked about this on our live show on Instagram Live, that it's tough for the Pacers to win up at the United Center, and somehow they pulled it out. They played well. But this team needs to start putting these wins together, putting stacking wins on top of wins on top of wins. We need consistent play out of all them. Caris LeVert's back tonight from his lower back soreness. He will be playing sparingly minutes, is what Carlisle said. T.J. Warren is still out. They will hopefully get an assessment next week as to when a possible timetable for him. He's not moving well, is what Rick said tonight before the game. And that's concerning to me. Now he's not moving well. So, but his ass is on the bench, so I don't know. Thoughts on Pacers, I guess quickly on Pacers, Bulls, and kind of what you thought, and we kind of talked about it already. But then Lakers tonight, Lake Show, Westbrook, my boy Melo is back in town tonight.
My boy Melo.
Hey, now he is. No, he's my boy.
The victory that the Pacers had over the Bulls is what they it's the style of play that they want. They want to be able to hit. They want to get consistent outside shots, hit them right from their guards and a little bit from their bigs. Right, they don't want the bigs to necessarily just automatically start turning the guards, which is what kind of happens with Miles Turner. You know, I mean, he starts chasing points, starts chasing threes, and forgets that he's 7 foot tall. But like I said last night, I'm sorry, against the Bulls, they had a consistent effort. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't just all two players, you know what I'm saying, volume players or three volume players with Brogdon and Sabonis, you know what I'm saying, getting the bulk share of the points. It was everybody, you know what I'm saying? Everybody contributed. Everybody hit. Justin Holiday was, you know what I'm saying, who's got a little bit more consistent with his outside jump shooting. And they out-rebounded the Bulls. I do believe like 10 boards. The Bulls didn't do them no favors because they went super cold themselves that night from three. So, but again, like I said, it's what the Pacers kind of want to do. They want a lot of sharing the ball, a lot of scoring from everybody, not just one particular guy or two particular guys. They want 20 points out of Sabonis, great, and then everybody else needs to have and because everybody has the ability to do so. To get 15 to 12 points from LeVert to Durante to even Holiday off the bench, you know what I'm saying, we've seen some great games ourselves out of McConnell where he's capable of getting 10 points, you know, putting together, you know what I'm saying, a starter type of level of game. So, like I can say, it's kind of the way they want to play, and not turn the ball over a whole of a lot. I think that's kind of what if we look at some of those losses against Detroit against Portland, they turned the ball over with stupidly. I mean, I can't even put any better. They turned the ball over stupidly. So going into this particular game against the Lakers, who ain't necessarily, you know, saying clicking on all cylinders themselves just yet. You do have a challenge still in front of you with LeBron James and Westbrook, two guys that are hard covers offensively. You know what I'm saying? You gotta run two guys at them. You gotta hope that Westbrook is missing from his not necessarily his threes, but his outside shots, period. Or you gotta hope Westbrook is, you know what I'm saying, turning the ball over and playing a little out of control OC. We have an advantage. You know what I'm saying, with Anthony Davis being out. Dwight Howard and DeAndre Jordan, though they have some great players in their time, you know what I'm saying, and they still, you know what I'm saying, put together a good game here and there. If I do remember last year when Howard was playing with the 76ers, like he turned back time on the Pacers and it had like an 18-10 type of game. So, you know what I'm saying, you got to let the old guys feel old. You know what I'm saying? You got to run.
Well, what kind of heat are we going to get from Miles tonight when he faces two big bigs?
I couldn't guess. Let me call Gary Barter from the college football because I don't know what the hell they're thinking either. as far as the rankings. But I don't know what you get. I don't know what you're going to get out of Miles Turner. Miles Turner is the kind of guy that plays off a lot of – if the first two shots go in or the first shot goes in, like he gets the confidence boost comes in that direction. And that's kind of how he works. So, but like I said, man. You got you got guys who who they should have a step, step ahead in front of. Like, you know what I'm saying? They should be quicker to the ball, quicker to the boards, Sabonis saying, and Miles Turner should. And like I said, if they out-rebound the Lakers, and, you know what I'm saying, Sabonis gets 20, which he's capable of, and Miles Turner gets a double-double, which he's more than capable of, I think the Pacers will win.
Okay. I forgot to talk on football. I had a topic left. I got to play the sound.
Go ahead.
I got to play from my phone because hopefully you can hear it through here. I don't know if you can hear it. Superman, and in the words of Kenny Smith, Superman is back in the building. Cameron Newton, John, resurgence in Superman Cam in Carolina. Go ahead. I know you're at the house. Go ahead and pull that shirt, that jersey. Show that. Ah! Cam, resurgence. I know they took the L, but he looked all right. 2 weeks now.
Outside of, like, man, he's a hot dog, you know what I'm saying, looking super cocky.
What?
But I'm getting to the point. Outside of that, everybody should be happy for Cam Newton. Back in the league, playing more comfortably and with the Panthers than he ever thought about playing with. I'm not saying didn't you feel like they liked him in New England, but they didn't love him? Like, it could work, but can it really work? Like, Bill Belichick is, like, straight and to the point. You know what I'm saying? Dry. Cam is like orange. I'm coming in an orange jumpsuit with a pink hat or a green jumpsuit. And, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to outdress Westbrook this weekend for Thanksgiving, you know what I'm saying? Rip the runway. That's the kind of personality he has. It's like real loud. You know what I mean? I just didn't necessarily think it was in the right fit. I thought I always thought Cam could play. You know what I'm saying? Give him the protection. Give him, receivers that, But I always knew he could play. Could he stay healthy was another kind of question mark. But he's happy being back. They have a need, you know what I'm saying, because their quarterback got hurt. And they have a need down in Carolina, and it's worked for him so far. Even though, you know what I'm saying, it's worked for him in a small sample size. It's worked for him so far. So, again, I'm happy for Cam.
Just making sure, man, because we got to keep our man right, man. Superman, we got to keep make sure he's good.
Wow.
Give me 1 second here. I got to put a bet in as we talk on this Pacer game. Tell you what, the first basket right now. You know, we can fool around. So it's funny how they do the first basket props. And I'll pull the curtain back a little bit here. It's you got DeAndre Jordan jumping against Miles Turner. John, I would think that DeAndre Jordan's probably going to get the tip, is my guess. And there's analytics in here that I'm looking at. So I think I'm going to go first basket. I think I'm going to go with
Brogdon.
Either Russ's dumbass is going to try to take the first shot and brick it. I'm going to go with DeAndre to get the first bucket. Basically, if he doesn't get the alley-oop, that he may get some slop off of Westbrook bricking the first shot maybe, and then he could just lay it up in, because we know Miles Turner ain't going to be underneath that basket trying to rebound. So so we'll go that route. Other NBA, John, what's up with our guy in Detroit, man? He crazy. He trying to fight LeBron? He didn't want that smoke. Melo even said that guy didn't want to. He ain't coming through that tunnel.
You know what I'm saying? Mind you, shaves the mouth at the palace.
Detroit. Why is it always Detroit?
I don't know. I watched it. It's a tough town, man. That's all I can tell you. I watched it a couple times, man. A lot of people have their own opinion on it. Did LeBron make physical connection? Yes. Did the blow warrant an ejection? Yes. Did it have malice in it? My opinion, I don't think so. I think they're jockeying per position. You know what I'm saying? They're both big guys. You know what I'm saying? Isaiah goes, you know what I'm saying, it looks like it goes a good 290. And we all know LeBron is 6'8" and goes a good 250. So we were both big guys, and both of them are jockeying for position in a real highly contested game, you know what I'm saying, where Detroit's trying to put their name on the map, and the Lakers are trying to figure out, like, what the hell they're doing losing in a tough game against Detroit. So even with all that, I don't think it was any malice, because, again, LeBron, I immediately went to him to say, hey, man, I didn't mean for that to happen, you know what I'm saying, kind of like that. But once the kids seen blood, it, you know what I'm saying, those kind of things kind of take over, and you kind of have to either, A, save face, which I kind of thought he had to do. Like, oh, man, I ain't going out like this. I don't care if it's LeBron or whoever. But at some point, you know what I'm saying, you kind of have to reel it in and understand that, because, like, all that, you cost – Brandon, he kind of cost the team the mojo of the game, because – though LeBron went out, their best player went out, you know what I'm saying, and he was also ejected, they lost. They were up at the time.
Right.
Detroit Pistons were. And then they just let AD and Westbrook take over. And then, like I said, they lost the game. So that's how much victory, you know what I'm saying, should matter. I mean, to be honest, I know you got 82 games, and, you know what I'm saying, sometimes these teams piss the 4 or 5 games down the leg before they try, you know what I'm saying. But I think I think the whole incident kind of cost him. I'm not saying he shouldn't be demonstrative and being upset, but, like, to continue to go after and to make a scene about it, and instead of, like, hey, let's get the team back focused, let's get back to this game, you know what I'm saying? That didn't happen, and like I said, it cost him. So I know they got a run back here coming up. Go ahead.
So he didn't want that smoke. As Melo said, that guy
didn't
want that smoke.
I don't know. Nobody. None of these guys are fighters, man. No basketball
players. None of them are. Miles Turner, he ain't no fighter either.
So, but, like, nah, man, I'm glad. I jokingly said David Stern's looking down from heaven, shaking his head, like, ah, oh, man, what are y'all doing, man? Get it together, Lee. But, like, nah, man, I'm glad it didn't escalate any further. How about that? But, like I said, there's a run back coming up. I think the Lakers played the Detroit Pistons again, like, in another week or so. So we'll see what happens with that particular game.
Hey, there's an article I think you would like. Chris Mannix from Sports Illustrated put it out today. The article is Free John Wall or Play John Wall. Either way, this standoff between Wall and the Rockets, no matter how civil, needs to end.
Well, Houston ain't in the business of eating up $44 million.
Apparently,
you
they
know what I'm saying? Well, I'm talking about letting him go for
– can't trade him?
Well, okay. For one, okay, so the thing about this, Brandon, who is trading for an often injured – a guy who used to be man, we had him on our radar to be something, but, like, realistically – $43 million, if you bring that to your team, man, he becomes, like, the second best player.
I got
the third
for
best
you.
Player. Go ahead.
You need a guy that can play, right, that's healthy. John Wall is healthy. He can play. How many games are we in? We're almost 25 games in, so he's got no games on his body right now, no wear and tear. A team that kind of needs to get that person, and if we don't see it anywhere in sight coming up, why not Brooklyn? Why not Brooklyn trade Kyrie Irving for John Wall? That way you're at least getting something. I think John Wall would flourish there. He's got – it'd be young legs. He would help KD. He would help James Harden out. I like John Wall going to Brooklyn. I think it would make it fit. And I think Brooklyn would take it in a heartbeat too if they could.
But so the thing about that would be – and I'm not saying that you're not right – because, again, you got a guy from Kyrie Irving who's not playing, who, you know what I'm saying, not necessarily taking all the series. But listen, has John Wall ever shown any type of pedigree? Even I go back to, you know, I'm going to crap on him because he went to Kentucky. Has he shown any type of pedigree when it's like seriousness of, like, winning time? And like, historically, I'm going to have to say no. So Kevin Durant is measured. He's just like LeBron James is now. He's measured, if not worse, right? I get it.
But he's
got MVP. Kevin Durant.
You got James Harden. You got Durant that can do it.
Kevin Durant needs guys like, dude, I need you. Like, John Wall, the bad habits will come up. DeMarcus Cousins? How many teams he bounced between the Lakers and the Pelicans
Queens.
And and Kings and like, you know what I'm saying? Everybody was like waiting. Like even Ghost, they kind of got food there for a minute. Again, it was cheap labor, technically, per his talent. But like, nah, man, these guys eventually kind of go back into, they'll say the right thing. They'll even put up good stats. But like, eventually, like nobody, I'm not saying nobody wants to play with them, but like, it doesn't turn into winning basketball. And like I said, Kevin Durant and guys like that are, that's kind of how they view their careers now and how they grade themselves kind of going further. I imagine Kevin Durant probably got more, Harden played better. I'm not gonna crap that out. But that was kind of a headache too, right? James, are you gonna be in shape? What's going on, dude? I'm thinking behind the scenes, right? They kind of distance themselves already right now from Kyrie Irving. Like Kyrie Irving believes the world is flat, so he is steadfast in his beliefs, right? So I don't foresee a John Wall trade going there because again, like that guy, I mean, serious basketball is not necessarily being his pedigree or calling card.
But I think your best ability is your availability, I would feel. And you're not getting anything out of Kyrie Irving, so you might as well, you can get something out of a fresh John Wall.
I still think Kyrie's coming back in January. I really
mean, he'll probably come back in January for the All-Star game, but that'd be about it.
Well, we'll see. That remains to be seen because, again, nobody wants to miss all the money that they're not making. So eventually, I think it comes back. But the trade for John Wall, you'd be losing out on what you could get next year and during lottery time, what you could get for Kyrie Irving.
Right. I got a video. I'm going to try to play the audio from my phone. That's how much I prepared for everything. This was J.J. Redick on his podcast, who we're going to try to get him on ours at some point, John. That'd be my the Duke Brotherhood. This was his take on LeBron James, and I thought he hit the head straight on the hammer straight on the head of the nail. I couldn't have said it better myself. I tweeted at you and even said, amen. Take a quick listen to this. It's about a 45-second clip.
We as a society have damn near tried everything to somehow discredit or dismantle LeBron's legacy. And all that guy has done is win, break records, build enterprises, build schools. There's certainly a level of respect, but for the fear factor, if you get into a playoff series with LeBron, you're certainly fearful of who he is as a player. Physically, I took a charge on LeBron my fifth year in Orlando. I caught his spin move perfectly. I ended up with 11 stitches under my eye. And I was standing there knowing he was going to make that spin move. And was I standing there in fear? Absolutely. Absolutely I was.
Oh, man.
So, John, I think he hit the head right on the ear. So the society, everybody's trying to bring the king down, Reggie Sykes, you included.
Right.
But you're in a playoff series and you're looking ahead. You don't want to see LeBron there, but I just thought that clip today from JJ was perfect and totally on point.
Well, it was a response because Stephen A. come out with this comment. He said nobody's scared of LeBron. He said there's guys, and there's always guys. So who are the guys, Stephen? I'm not saying that, you know what I'm saying, you can't out them, of course, because then they're gonna come back and deny it. Right, because if it comes out and it's like Lance Stephenson, like, dude, that was the guy you were talking about. You know what I'm saying? Of course, there's, you know what I mean? And I mean, we love Lance Stephenson over here, but if you're telling me Lance Stephenson said nobody fears LeBron, like, dude, that dude's not in the league. You know what I'm saying? If you're saying it's, I'm trying to think. Oh, my goodness, I can't even pull somebody out. Jordan Yang. I'm just saying. If you're saying nobody fears him, like, Jordan Yang played maybe 16 minutes in two games. So
right.
it's kooky to me, like, when he says it's hype. It's hype. They, you know, you know me, the conspiracy theory that I have, and it's not conspiracy, it's truth. You know, it's in Fox Sports and ESPN, you get more media clicks, you get more tweets, you get more people to watch the program when you say certain words, Brett Favre, LeBron James, Michael Jordan, you know what I'm saying? People go crazy. Anytime, oh, LeBron, you know what I'm saying? They just do. So that's why. That's kind of aware. That's kind of – that the J.J. Redick response is
right.
Cool. I'm glad he came out and said that because, you know what I'm saying, him and Steve had a little bit of a – back and forth on First Take or whatever, and like he basically kind of hushed up Stephen A. when he said, "Well, I played." Okay, so I don't remember any. I don't anybody even when LeBron, you know what I'm saying, was in Miami. I don't remember anybody taking a charge. You know what I'm saying, or even when he was a kid. He was in Cleveland.
Right.
I don't believe anybody taking a charge on LeBron. 6'8", 6'8½", and like I said, goes between 240 to 250. Like, dude, nobody, you know what I'm saying, you're going to get hurt if you take a charge, you know what I'm saying, or get caught underneath the rim potentially on a dunk. So, you know, tough guy. There's the only tough guys in the NFL and AEW, you know what I'm saying. Basketball players, tough, you know what I'm saying. That's a different level of tough. But, again, nobody, you got a plan. Fear, when you talk about fear, I guarantee you that Coach Carlisle tonight got a plan to, like, negate however we get the ball out of LeBron's hands, right? That's, quote-unquote, that's fear, because if you let LeBron take over a game, you're going to lose, right? So it's hype.
Okay. By the way, we have a great game going on right now, the Maui Invitational Championship. I've been watching Wisconsin and St. Mary's. Wisconsin was down, and now they've taken a four-point lead. Or a 5-point lead, and then St. Mary just buried a 3. So it's a 2-point game with a minute to go. Wisconsin 4-1 in the Big Ten. Big Ten possibly having a down year, from what everybody's saying, with Michigan losing, Illinois losing, and then it is what it is. But as we're talking Big Ten basketball here momentarily, John, I got to play it. I mean, if nobody's going to show respect. Damn it, we'll show respect here. The number 3 team in the country who just had a great weekend when you knock off the Blue Bloods of a North Carolina Tar Heels and the Villanova Wildcats. The Purdue Boilermakers, John, number 3 in the country, about to be number 2 because UCLA took a thrashing last night, number 1, Gonzaga. Gonzaga has got to play Duke on Friday night. If Gonzaga loses that game somehow, look out. The Boilermakers could be number 1, John. Purdue Boilermakers, great basketball. And I told you in a tweet, and I put it on Twitter, old Purdue, when they were down by 7 to Villanova with 6 minutes ago, old Purdue would have collapsed there. John, this team is special. They are deep. They have plenty of depth. They had a comeback, and I had somebody at work tell me, my God, they reminded me, and he's like, and you can dog me for it, but he's like, they reminded me of the Golden State Warriors, because they went from down 7 to up 9 quick. Sasha Stevanovic with the 3. Travion Williams coming off the bench, John. He was Big Ten defensive player last year, one of the top ones. He's coming off the bench. He had 20 the other night. This Purdue team is special. We've got a friend of the program, Brandon Brantley, as well. But this Purdue team is looking great. I'm going next Tuesday. I don't know if you're going to be able to or not, John, but I am going next Tuesday night for Purdue Florida State ACC Big Ten Challenge up at Mackey. I think that's going to be a huge game. But the Boilermakers, special, special, special teams. I always said this is Final Four or bust. Like, this is not considered a successful season in my eyes unless they win that regional final and go to the Final Four at least.
Well, they certainly put together a quality team, a team full of Indiana All-Stars, and a team full of guys, juniors and seniors that they retained and kind of got from, talked out of, assessed, however you want to look at it, talked out of from going turning pro or leaving the program in the transfer portal or whatever, or, you know, like I said, turning pro. So you kind of got to like what Purdue has put together in the preseason. And you kind of got to like what they have right now. They got guys that can make shots, and they got rotational players when they come off three, four deep off the bench. They can make shots and play, you know what I'm saying, multiple positions, not just be, small forward or shooting guards, soloed up position. They can play multiple positions. And, of course, Matt Painter's going to ask defense out of everybody, out of all the players to play. You ain't going to play if you don't play defense, period. That's kind of what it is, and no player, you know what I'm saying, no player is really bigger than the program. Ivy is already getting, draft calls, right?
Yeah,
like where he's going to kind of fall, where he's going to fall in the draft. But again, you couldn't tell by the way they play in his style of play, or any type of showboat or anything out of him. That like I said, nobody, no player on this particular team is bigger than the program, and I think they have a one unit mind type of goal. Erase that ugliness that happened last year during the tournament when they lost to Texas Abilene or some whatever crappy Texas team with team from Texas, right? In that first round, team that should have beat by 40. And again, like you said, in a game against that particular game against Villanova, and you know, even against UNC, those blue blood, those teams are always, you know, stock full of next level guys, NBA guys, or guys who's going to play long time overseas. Always, and that's necessarily something. I'm not saying Purdue doesn't have that, as we know they have pro players as well. But you know what I'm saying? If another team around these parts in the Hoosier market had beat those two particular teams, they'd probably be a 30 for 30 on them. You know what I'm saying? A local 30 for 30 on them, because like, man, you know what I'm saying? When's the last time IU? I mean, again, I know we're comparing. When's the last time IU beat somebody on the level? I agree. Great wins that they've had here recently. You know what I'm saying? As they restarted their efforts and become a national home. You know what I'm saying? To come back, get back into the blue blood household name. But again, beating USC, beating Villanova pales in comparison. I mean, those are mountains compared to beating Jackson State by 35, which is what the Hoosiers did last night. You know what I'm saying? But again, man, like I said, you have to like what you see out of Purdue. You have to like seeing them potentially winning another Big Ten title, because again, they got the right mixture of youth and veteran support, as far as veteran support being juniors and seniors. Man, I like them to necessarily. I like them to make a run, not only for the Big Ten title and potentially the Final Four.
Yeah, this is Painter's best squad that he's ever had in in all his years there at Purdue. That's why I said it's got to be you got to show something for it this year. We've got the regional final a couple years ago with Carson Edwards and them. This year we need Final Four. This team is like, I'm still a little nervous, John, that this team is a little young to where. They could go stretches with them not scoring, or their bigs in foul trouble. That's where I get a little nervous. But I think they're, like I said, I mean, I'm a Purdue fan, but it's big things this year in West Lafayette. I'm excited. And I did call out, and I've had several, I was very shocked. I had several people I've seen this week talk about my tweets and how right I am about the city and the metro area of Indianapolis, whether it be Fox 59, WTHR, RTV, you name it, Indy Star, hell, 1070, The Fan. These places, John, are IU nauseam, and they have no respect for Purdue, who knocks off two teams who get a 30-second clip while IU gets a Jackson State win, and we get a 6-minute piece about that. It's very frustrating as a Purdue fan that we don't get the respect. The only time we got the respect and everybody was, and I don't care, I'm going to say it, everybody was kissing their nuts, was back when they made that NCAA regional run with Carson Edwards, and they're like, well, dude, yeah. I guess we go over our Purdue team. That's the only time you heard something from them.
Right.
And then they're trying to act like, oh, yeah, Purdue, we follow Purdue. We talk about Purdue. Bullshit. You don't. You're all over IU. And don't lie. And I've called them out on Twitter. I'm going to continue to call them out on Twitter every day because it's nauseating. And another thing, 1070 The Fan, who we've got a close friend of ours, you know, that works for them. He's a great guy. He talks to Purdue. Yeah. JNV, he talks to Purdue, which is great. But here's the perfect example. Where on the Indianapolis dial do you get to listen to a Purdue game on their radio dial? No, you sure don't. Do you get to listen to an IU game on their radio dial? Yep, sure do. Oh, what's that? Their sister one? It's either 93.1 WIBC, or you get it on a 107.5 if there's nothing else going on. Do you get to listen to a Purdue game on either one of those? Absolutely not. Why is that? That's my question I have. why are we? And it's very frustrating. Somebody's got to call it out. Nobody else is going to call it out. I'll be that guy.
You got
to pull. Purdue needs their damn respect. I don't want them getting this. I don't want to say it now, John, and them get their damn respect in February when they're making that run. And all these other media organizations are all over them. Oh, yeah, Purdue. You know what? If you weren't on board from the beginning, stay the hell off.
Fish must own part of 1070 or something like that, man, because he's on there. He's on there all the time talking about football or basketball. So they got to get a liaison, kind of like that. Somebody can come on here.
They do. I mean, they got Alan Carpart. Puyuk comes on.
Well, I think put a pin in this one. I think we're going to be hearing more about Purdue versus IU, more than, you know what I'm saying, going further.
I hope. I really, really hope. Let's see. What do I have? Anything else college basketball-wise? I don't think I have any college basketball. John, let's hit a quick ad read. We'll hit our three ads. When we come back, we'll start talking college football. Round out.
You've changed thousands of diapers, cut off hundreds of crusts, played hours of peekaboo and duck, duck, goose because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm insurance agent Scott K. Nichols will help make it easy and affordable to help protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you'd do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm agent Scott K. Nichols in Indianapolis today at 317-243-3509. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Also want to thank our sponsor, Maverick Custom Motorsports, where ideas are created and dreams are born, specializing in custom motorcycles, boats, slingshots, Jeeps, and trucks, offering pickups, deliveries, and shipping worldwide. Check them out today, maverickcustommotorsports.com. Black Friday sales are coming up, John, with Maverick Custom Motorsports. Check them out on their website, maverickcustommotorsports.com. They've got everything you need. They carry all the top brands and more. Check them out today. Let them know Crossroads Sports sent you.
We also want to thank our third sponsor, Wiseman Logistics. They are Amazon delivery part. They are Amazon delivery service partner. They deliver both commercially and domestic. So if you got a package, guess what? You can ship it through them. Like I said, they do ship locally. But the biggest thing right now is they are hiring. Anybody looking for a job, go to WisemanLogistics.com to looking for a job. Fill out an application. They're looking for drivers. Looking for warehouse help. If you're not .com savvy on the web, call the number 1-877-744-6212. Like I said, they are hiring. Tell them Brandon and Jonathan sent you. That'll be your great reference to potentially getting, you know what I'm saying, the job that you want and the pay rate that you want. So again, support. I can't speak about it anymore. Support all our sponsors, whether it's Washington Logistics, Maverick Custom Motorsports, or even Scott K. Nichols State Farm Insurance. You know what I'm saying? Support us. The best way you can support this Crossroads Sports Show is by clicking on those sponsors and see what services they have to offer.
Okay. Perfect to there. John, we'll bring on our next guest, our fellow sports gambler we've got here with us here.
Woo!
Our guy, Tanner Penrod. What's going on, Tanner?
What's going on, Reeve? How you doing, John?
What's going on?
Doing good.
Welcome back.
Doing good. Doing good. Just been watching some hoops today.
Yeah. I hope you took Wisconsin -2.5 like I did.
That would have been solid. I was on a sweaty one with Michigan State earlier and took a push.
I live bet them at halftime.
Yeah, good bet.
They were +2.5 at halftime. That's crazy.
Yeah.
It was a little sweatier than
I wanted. Yeah.
Yeah, and then I took UConn -1.5, and they won in double overtime. So 3-0 to start my night.
That was a great game. That was a great game.
They tried to give it away, Hurley and them. So it was.
Yeah, that was a good game.
Absolutely. All right, gentlemen, college football, we got 2 weeks left in the regular season. In the season, basically, between we've got the conference this week, and then we got conference championships next week, and then we got the bowls. So this past week, guys, good week overall. I went 6-3. I'm 54-46 now. Jonathan went 8-1. Woo! JB,
wow.
8-1. Took the lead. 59-1 now. Tanner is three games back. Tanner went 4-5, 56-44. Jonathan with a three-game lead over Tanner and a five-game lead over me with a couple weeks, 3 weeks or 4 weeks left to go in the game.
Gosh,
interesting. 8-1, yeah. This guy. I had Rod up. I forget which one he pissed his bed on. Which one was it, John? Do you remember?
Who was the dog for me? Was it Minnesota? No, it wasn't Minnesota.
No, also Minnesota.
It might have been Ball State. If Ball State was on there for last Wednesday.
Yeah, and then I missed this week for Ball State, too. I didn't know it was a Tuesday nighter.
Well, I think I gave us all the win on that because we were all going to take Ball State to round out the regular season. Here's the thing. They're bowl eligible, but I think I don't know if there's enough bowls. The only reason I say that is because if you look at the standings for Ball State, if you look at the standings, John, everybody in the MAC West is bowl eligible. Every single team.
Chuck, are you serious?
Yes. If you look at the MAC West standings, every team in the MAC West is bowl eligible.
Who's going to win the MAC West? What directional Michigan's winning the MAC West?
You have 12 teams.
They're gonna have to get in the Little Caesars Bowl or something.
Yeah, so Illinois 8-4, Central Michigan 7-4, Eastern 7-4, Toledo 6-5, Ball State 6-6, Western 7-5, and then you got two teams in the East, Miami and Kent State.
If there's a GoDaddy Bowl still, that's where Ball State's playing in.
Hell, they might put us back in the International Bowl up there. We take on Ray Rice and Kenny Britt again with Rutgers.
Ray Rice be punching his way to victories.
Oh, wow. Call that. We have Buffalo at Ball State. I put us all three for Ball State. We weren't going to let them lose that game at all, so that's a guaranteed dub.
No, we needed that. Yeah, home.
Start, gentlemen.
Coach New needed that one.
Yeah, I did. Indiana, the Hoosiers at Purdue. Purdue with a big win. Purdue is 8-3 right now, or 7-3 or 8-3. I can't remember which one it is. I'm looking. Give me a split second here. Boilermakers are 7-4, about to be 8-4 possibly. I took, by the way, Tanner, preseason. Purdue's over-under for wins in the season was 5. Crushed it. Just going to say I crushed it. Put a hundo spot
on
it.
That's a good crack. There you go.
They had the perfect schedule for
I
got a little worried first.
I wonder what IU's over-under was compared to last year. I bet you they said a high. I bet you
they're
like 7 or 8.
Six? Yeah.
That wasn't happening. But I heard I hear you talking on that IU game. I'll give a quick little pick. Purdue by a million.
Yeah, Purdue favored by 15. I'm taking Purdue. Jonathan's taking – or Tanner's taking Purdue. John?
I'm taking Purdue. They're going to win the bucket. I think, IU ain't – did they beat a Division I? I know they did. did they beat a Division I program this year? The answer is technically yes, but – They don't have any Power 5 wins this year. It was a three steps backwards year for them. You can kind of see what they have at quarterback for the future, but that guy's going to need, more than just, just him and, and whatever's left, I'm not saying that doesn't like the team quit, but it's hard to get up when you're 0-7. Even in a rivalry game with Purdue. So, I think Purdue has been has shown some steps in the right direction this year for themselves, right? They beat Iowa. They beat Michigan State, all at the right time. They have another top 15 win underneath their belt. I think they handle the Hoosiers handily and probably win 15. It's probably going to be more like 20.
Okay.
I agree with him. I'm going to say two.
By the way.
Words. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you go ahead, Reed. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying IU 0-8 in the conference, 2-9 overall, and we're just in year two of a $27.3 million deal signed by Tom Allen. Number 18th highest contract in the NCAA in coaching. And the guys went to an 0-8, about to be 0-9 winless Big Ten season and 2-10 overall. Just shows how IU's athletic department doesn't know how to put a damn contract together and find talented coaches, whether it be Archie or even Tom Allen.
No, yeah, I totally agree. What I was just going to say is it didn't matter how bad this game was going to be. That line could have been 23, and I would have still took Purdue in this game. I think that Hoosiers have tucked it in. I think that McCauley dude's going to be good. The quarterback, he's from Lawrence North.
Right.
If he improves that accuracy, he's in the low 40s. If he gets that up into the 60s, 60% range or above, they should have a decent campaign, but you're not going to win many games when your quarterback's throwing 43%.
Right. And Penix has got to be transferring out, right, at the end of the season?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, has to.
I figured. All right, moving ahead, the Egg Bowl. The Egg Bowl is on Thanksgiving night. Tomorrow night we got the man, Nathan, Ole Miss at Mississippi State. Mississippi State is a 2-point favorite in the Egg Bowl. Mississippi State, 2-point favorite at home against Ole Miss. Rivalry, come on now. You already know where I'm going. If the Lane Train's getting 2 points and they're already the better team, I don't care if Mike Leach is on the other side or not. Give me Lane Train and Ole Miss plus the two.
I knew once I heard that horn, I knew exactly what the hell you were picking. Yeah, so I'm going to go with the last couple times I've been with Reef, I'll go on the Lane Train too. Give me the two. Give me the Lane L Train. I'll take Ole Miss over Mississippi State.
There you go.
For sure.
All right, John.
I got to go Lane Train too. I haven't necessarily believed. I know Mississippi State has won some games. Oh, God. That's irritating. I know they won some games here and there to keep, make their season respectable. But this is also the same team that lost to Memphis, right? In the earlier, you know, say like week two, week three of this football season. So I think Lane Train's on a mission to get a bigger contract, if not necessarily go to another school. I think he stays with Ole Miss. So I think the big contract, I think he's going to get the big contract here, but he's not going to let Mississippi State in this particularly rivalry game derail his efforts in getting that contract. So Ole Miss probably by two touchdowns, to be honest with you.
Okay. We got Bedlam. Bedlam this weekend, Oklahoma at Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State's a 4.5-point favorite.
It's went up to that now.
If Oklahoma State wins this game, these two teams play each other again next week in the Big 12 championship. I'm going Oklahoma State.
Give me.
You going with the Cowboys?
Wow.
Yep.
I am too. I'm a man. I'm 40. give me Gundy all day long. I think that's a hot mess over there in Oklahoma. They don't. They go back and forth on those quarterbacks, and I think it just causes trouble. I think Lincoln Riley's got to figure it out sooner or later. But I'll take Gundy and I'll take Oklahoma State playing there in Stillwater. Give me the Cowboys.
Okay, Danner.
All right. Probably going to be the only one to go to Oklahoma. There's nobody other than that Baylor coach and that Baylor team that's been able to figure out Oklahoma the last couple of seasons. I think this is going to be a high-scoring game. It's going to be a crazy high-scoring game between them and the Cowboys. I thought Oklahoma, me personally, I thought Oklahoma has been the best team in the Big 12. That's not, and I think they're deserving. I know they took a loss, but I think they're, you know what I'm saying, the best team. Deserving of being a top six team, even though they're not necessarily in the top six right now. But a lot of things got to happen for them to jump back up into that type of conversation. I don't think it's going to happen, right? But as far as this week is concerned, I think the best team wins. And right now, I think Oklahoma's the best team. I think they win.
Okay. Penn State at Michigan State. Michigan State's a 1-point favorite. Give me Penn State and James Franklin getting that new 10-year deal.
not so fast. Go ahead, Jonathan.
No, I got to go. Penn State seems kind of got derailed with injuries and whatnot. They took some bad losses here there. They still, if I look at them on paper, I think they're still the better team. Ohio State sunned the hell out of Michigan State, right? Put them in their place last weekend. Penn State can put together just, you know what I'm saying, that type of effort on Michigan State. I like Penn State in this one.
All right. I'm going to have to go with Sparty. There's only one way to catch Jonathan, and that's Stadium, and you got to go the other way. So I'm gonna go Sparty and hope that Walker goes for about 200 plus and four tutters again. So give me Sparty over here at home, and let's go Sparty.
All right, number six, Notre Dame, 20.5 favorites against Stanford. Give me Notre Dame to cover that because they need a big blowout win to give them a shot of chance. Give them a chance.
I'll get in here. I got a few things to say on this. Give me the Irish, but this possibly could be Brian Kelly's last game coaching.
Wow.
I think he's took him to, because I think this is the furthest he can take that Notre Dame team. I wouldn't be shocked if he took that USC job. He took them all the way to the top.
I knew that was coming.
He's plateaued at Notre Dame.
Dude, he will break so many hearts. He will break
so many hearts. He's plateaued at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
He can get to the top. He's proven that he can get him in the top 10 and stay there. But I don't think he can take him any farther than what he's took him. So I'll give me the Irish in the 17. But I don't think he coaches there much longer. If that job opens up, now I could see him bouncing by the end of
Interesting. I think there might be some traction in what you're saying there, Tanner. Stanford has put together, you know what I'm saying, some games where they scared some teams, right, and beat some people they weren't supposed to beat. But for the most part, you know what I'm saying, Andrew Luck ain't walking through that door, right? So I'm going with the Irish. They should be, you know, the Irish put Georgia Tech in their place. They rolled them for like 40-something points, right? I think we won't necessarily get that type of routing, but it's going to be a route. Regardless, I think Notre Dame is, you know what I'm saying, if you're saying that, Tanner, and that's kind of in the air, I bet you the team kind of knows that and they want him to go out on top. So however they can get close to the next championship game or whatever significant bowl game, I think they're going to do that. So I like the Irish to win big here against Stanford.
Okay. A game that used to be meant something and now really does. Florida State at Florida. You got Florida State, who's had a tumultuous year again, just still can't get their act together for an entire season. Florida fired offensive coordinator. Now they fired Dan Mullen. Florida 2.5-point favorite. Give me Florida State. I think this Florida team is dead dog.
Ditto.
Oh man, I knew you were gonna take the other side, and I kind of want to take that side too. But then, oh man, oh
dead dog. You know they are. They quit. They're quit. They're done. Who's got more to gain from this game, Andrew?
The tomahawk chop or gator bait? Who am I taking there? I looked at that game before I called you, and I said this is the one game I don't even know who I want to take. I haven't took many dogs. Give me Renegade, give me the Seminoles, give me the points. I'll take those guys.
There you go. John?
Make it a sweep, Brandon. I'm taking Florida State. What happened since that close game that Florida played against Alabama?
They went downhill. That's a domino effect over there. They played bad.
Right. It's been horrible. And I mean, I guess where
I mean, they went up to Kentucky, got smoked. They got smoked.
Yep.
I mean, they've played bad.
Yeah.
I agree with you, Jonathan,
probably,
on that. Bad.
The team that the administration probably was thinking that was going to finish, you know, they're just being realistic, probably going to finish solidly behind Alabama and Georgia. And then you falter when, you know what I'm saying, when the likes of Arkansas – and Ole Miss are in front of you. You know what I'm saying? So that's the reason why they had the coaching change. I'm picking Florida State, man, because Florida, shoot, Tim Tebow ought to be the head coach there next year.
I tell you what, I was getting ready to say an old school comment. I said I miss the days when Florida was fun to watch with Rex Grossman, Fred Taylor, Rashad Caldwell, Jamar Gaffney, and they just put up 50 every week.
Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah. Well, he came there. He was there with Tebow. That wasn't the old ball coach's play.
By the way,
old ball coach.
I'm ready for that 30 for 30 to come out. You know it's getting made right now. With
Aaron
with
I miss old ball
the Fernandez.
Yeah, I miss old ball coach.
Tebow, the Pouncey brothers. You know there's got to be one.
Oh yeah.
So,
you might even be able to throw Cam Newton in there. He might have been stealing a laptop at the same time.
Come on now, not Superman. Dun, 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 dun. All right, the big one, number two, Ohio State. 8-point favorite on the road going to number five, Michigan, the big game. Go up in Ann Arbor. Tanner, I'm going to let you lead us off. Ohio State -8 at Michigan.
I'm going to say this. I think Ohio State's the second best team in the country behind Georgia. I'll lay the 8. Give me the 8. I faded them last week. I thought 19 was way too many points, and they blew that out of the water. I think it's going to be another tough one for Harbaugh to swallow because he can't beat Ohio State, and he can't seem to win big games on the road. I mean, at home even and on the road. Michigan State and Ohio State just give him the fits, and I think it's going to be another tough loss for Harbaugh to swallow. I think he might be able to keep it close in that first half, but I think Ohio State pulls away and cruises their way into that playoff. And I think whoever they play in that Big Ten championship, whatever that line is, give me Ohio State in that one as well already.
John.
This is the best team in the number of years that Jim Harbaugh has had. They got the defense. They got the run game. They ain't got the quarterback still. C.J. Stroud's the best quarterback than McNamara. The wideout core that they have in Ohio State is better than what they have at Michigan. Michigan, like I said, is good with their linebackers. They get to the quarterback. They are good against the run. But eventually that offense is probably going to just keep – I think it's going to be a close game, folks. Okay? I'm just going to tell you like that. But I think eventually that offense of Ohio State just gets to Michigan and, like I said, unloads on them. I'm going with Ohio State. That Oregon game, they had the Oregon losses way behind them in the rearview mirror, and they are primed to get to the national championship game. And this is, one of the steps they need to get to. So I'm going to Ohio State.
This game, I saw the spread. It was 8. I said, okay. 8's kind of what I was thinking, typically. I was a little shocked looking at it in general. But, gentlemen, I went back and I looked. And I looked back, and John, me and you talk all the time about Harbaugh, and damn it, there has to be – you have to get those big wins, right? You got to get them. Because if not, your ass is going to be fired, and you're not doing what you need to. You, as Tanner calls it, you plateaued, right? Like Brian Kelly. He went out and got a win. We said for a couple of years now on this show, this is the year you got to do it. This is the year you got to do it, right? They went out. They took on Michigan State. Okay, they took an L against Little Brother. Damn, okay. Close game,
yep.
Though, right? You go to Penn State. You take on Penn State. Bam, you knock them off. Okay, we're right in the ship. There's a big win. You're right high. You got a good chance to get into your first Big Ten championship game. This is it. This is Jim Harbaugh. This is the Michigan Wolverines we talked about that we've wanted to see for so long. Date it to 2011. November 26, 2011, Michigan beat Ohio State 40-34 in Ann Arbor. Not enough points I can take. Give me the fucking Buckeyes by a billion this Saturday. Ohio State dominates Michigan, and the Buckeyes go to the Big Ten title game. They dominate Wisconsin in that, and they go into the college football playoff as the number two team. Ohio State by a billion. I don't care what the spread is. They are going to wax Michigan because Michigan, who all have they played besides maybe Penn State, who's been and Michigan State, who's been Now you take on Big Brother, and you're really going to see what you are. And the problem is it's the last game of the season, and you're going to get your feelings hurt.
All right. I saw that build-up. It kind of reminded me of Lee Corso over there.
I was trying to.
That's
give me a ball. Fucking billion. and then the last one.
I wish you would have had a Brutus headgear to put on right after that thing, and I could have got a picture of it.
Oh, we might have to start implementing that next year, John. I'll just start putting a little cutout on of whoever I pick for my game.
Yeah, we got to have one signature game.
Yeah,
we got to have one signature game.
And then I just go in and go dirty on somebody's fan base on it. Last game, gentlemen, I've got the CBS game of the week. Number three, Alabama, 19.5-point favorites going to Auburn to take on War Eagle. Gentlemen, I'll go first on this one. Ooh, I can see Auburn winning the game. I can see them upsetting Alabama, giving Alabama that second loss to where it's already trouble for Roll Tide, and it creates more controversy. But, hey, Bo Nix is out. Psh, give me Bama. They cover the 19.5.
What did he
I'm
say?
With Reese.
Go ahead.
He said Bo Nix is out. Give me Bama. And I was about to hit him with a classic RFT roll. I won't say it on the show. Tied. You know what it means? And Saban had a tighter one than he wanted with Arkansas last week.
Right.
No Bo Nix.
Right.
The goat of college football, Saban's going to have those boys ready to play. He knows he can't take an L going into this. Big matchup. I know people might think it's a track, trap game coming up there against before they play Georgia, but I gotta say he's gotta have those boys ready. No Bo Nix is a big thing. That Auburn defense hasn't shown me a damn thing. They burnt my ass so bad when they were up 28-3 a couple weeks ago and gave up 40 unanswered or whatever it was. That just proved every point I had to ever bet on or save on Auburn's ass anytime ever again. Roll Tide, Saban by 20 plus.
All right, John.
Yeah, man. I actually watched that Auburn and Arkansas game. I thought Saban was going to have a coronary conniption fit all at the same time, man, because they wasn't dominating like they normally dominate. Arkansas has come a long way though, as far as the program is concerned. So, but like, nah, man. There's no way. There's only probably two teams in the nation. They can probably compete with Alabama, and one is Georgia, and one plays in another conference. So, as much as this is a rivalry game, and usually you get the best out of each team in a rivalry game, Alabama's got too much for Auburn, and like I said, they'll come out. You know what I'm saying? They're gonna roll this particular weekend, and like I said, Roll Tide.
There's gonna be no kick six saving Auburn's ass this year. Believe that.
Right.
Gentlemen, before we let Tim go, I do want to talk. We got some time. College football playoff. Right now we've got Georgia, Ohio State, Alabama, and Cincinnati is in it. We've got Michigan and Notre Dame. And I almost want to also put in Oklahoma State just because they're in reach. We're looking at it. Between this weekend, we'll decide whether it's Ohio State or Michigan. But, yeah, one of those teams will drop an out. And then Notre Dame will move up. I think the only way Notre Dame can win. Go ahead. What do you got, Tanner?
I want to give a quick little synopsis. This is what I want to happen because I don't want Notre Dame to get in there and get steamrolled like they do every damn time they're in that playoff. I think if everybody takes care of business and wins this week, Cincinnati, everybody, Ohio State. The best bet would be Alabama to beat Georgia, because I think Georgia would still stay in there, and then those four stay. Because I'm telling you, if Notre Dame gets in there and gets embarrassed, that Brian Kelly statement I said earlier, he's out of there for sure.
Okay. By the way, here's a little sneak peek for what I'm doing this weekend, or on Friday, I guess. Nate Tanner. I've got East Carolina points and money line against Cincinnati.
Shut
I think they up,
what's their record?
I think they upset them. I think they upset them.
What's East Carolina's record?
Give me 1 second.
Are they?
They
like
are
9-2, 8-3, something.
Yeah, something like that. Give me a second. I'm trying to find damn. Here we go. Loading up. Gotta love. I got everything damn open. They're 7-4.
Okay.
Home game against Cincinnati at 3:30. I just believe.
Yep.
And if they don't, look out for Houston. Houston 10-1, 8-0 in the conference. They're going to be facing.
Would they play them in a championship game?
Yes, Cincinnati and Houston would be the championship game next week. Houston 8-0, 10-1 overall. Cincinnati 7-0, 11-0 overall.
I like that. Hey, your Dukies, let's get this in there. How bad are they going to get their titties lit by the Zags?
They're going to win the game, Tanner.
Oh, you must be on that same stuff they smoke.
John, am I wrong? Dog.
No, they just dismantled the number two team. And first of all, how many DUIs can your players catch before Coach K just starts kicking players off the team?
Hey, allegedly.
I mean,
by the way.
Come on, Coach K's not even suspended players. He's like, it's my last year. Hey, go do whatever you want. Hell, lacrosse players rape people out there. They go out there and do this. But Duke just must be invincible.
Hey, by the way, you were pretty silent on Twitter this weekend when them Boilermakers whooped that ass.
Hey, that was expected, son. I wasn't expecting to win that game.
Pretty silent on Twitter. Boy, I didn't know if you had to log in, forgot your password or what.
I knew what was coming. I didn't say anything.
Okay.
But
okay.
If you think those Dukies are going to win that game, Drew Timmy might have 37-12.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. All right, Tanner, I'm up against it. Got to let you go, my man. It's been a pleasure.
All right.
Good luck.
It has
been a pleasure. We'll talk next week. But, yeah, that's my thoughts on this week, college football preview, Final Four. We'll catch up if I got some more bets. Oh, yeah.
Conference championships next week, boys. Looking forward to it.
Go Tom Terrific this week against the Colts.
Oh,
love it.
Come on.
See you, Tanner. All right, Tanner Penrod, friend of the program. Always love having Tanner on. It's always a great segment. John, update on the Pacers, 24-18 right now over the Lake Show as Melo shoots a three and misses it. So, okay. So we got a special guest. What's going on?
I don't know. We're going to wait on that. What did you think about Ghostbusters?
Loved it. I cried in it, John. I cried at the end, John. It's sentimental, my man. I thought it was beautifully done. And it tied all the pieces together. There was a lot of Easter eggs. As big of a Ghostbusters fan as I am, I put pictures up stuff back in the day as a kid. But I thought it was perfect. Great done. And Harold Ramis was a beautiful tribute.
Yeah, I thought it was didn't lean too much on the past and the past, you know what I'm saying, being in the bike, you know what I'm saying, like Harold Ramis and Dan Aykroyd and, you know what I'm saying, and the past two Ghostbusters being there, you know what I'm saying, this kind of, now they're in it, you know what I'm saying, for anybody ain't seen it, I'm not trying to get any spoilers or anything like that, but very nostalgic, but at the same time letting a new era of Ghostbusters kind of thrive, right? If I'm, you know what I'm saying, correct me if I'm wrong, man. So I like this. I like the music they played in it. I like Paul Rudd's part in it. You know what I'm saying? I like, you know what I'm saying, everything. So, yeah, I encourage everybody to go see that new Ghostbusters Afterlife. Great, great movie.
Yeah, I thought it was great. John, I want to see it again. So I'm looking forward to it. John, I got to bring on our guest, special friend of the program, assistant coach for the Boilermakers, the number three team in the country, Brandon Brantley. Coach T, how are you?
Hey, what's up, guys? How y'all doing?
Good, my man. How are you?
I finally got a chance to get back on here and rap with y'all a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. You guys have had a big week.
Yeah, it's good. You know, it's always good for your program, you know, to have like a high ranking, you know. But we constantly telling the guys, like, man, you know, that's what it is. Like, you know, it's early. It's still in November. And you definitely don't want to be playing your best ball in November. So we still got a lot of work to do. We think we can be like better than what we are. So, you know, that's the challenge for us.
John?
Dude, Brandon had kind of already talked about it, beating Villanova, beating UNC, plus, you know what I'm saying, completely, basically going undefeated, beating some other teams that you've already played. Dude, they would have, jokingly, you know what I'm saying, if it's been the other team, not to be named, if it's been the other team, you know what I'm saying, they probably would have had a parade for Purdue, you know what I'm saying, for that team, as far as being those two particular Blue Buzz in a weekend, man. So I want to congratulate you personally, you know what I'm saying, and the program. But, like, again, man, what is it? I gotta ask you, like, so what? How do you keep, you know what I'm saying, guys, you know what I'm saying, with their minds set on the next game and not necessarily having a letdown.
The good thing for us is that we got a lot of depth. So you got a lot of depth. Only, you know, we can only put five on the court, and so it's always a constant battle for playing time. So you can hold guys to the fire, and our guys are smart enough to realize. So they got to come in. They got to show up every day and compete to hold those spots. So nobody is cemented. So that, you know, that's the great thing. And we talked about it all summer. You know, we knew we had a good team, but the goal is not to have a good team. The goal is to, you know, go as far as we can. And so, you know, these guys want to make a deep run in March. You know, the coaching staff, and so. Well, every day, like, everybody is expected to, like, to give their best.
Okay. You got a game Friday night against Omaha, and then we've got a big one next Tuesday night. I'll be there. John hasn't told me if he's going to be there yet or not, but I'll be there for the Florida State game. Looking ahead at those, at kind of each game that we've got coming up, how much – Grant, coach, is it better to get some of these big early tests in the season than to just go and play teams that, you know, it doesn't really give you that test mark, like a March?
You know, sometimes it just depends on your team. You know, if you're young and or maybe you got a new coach, sometimes you do need some games that are not quite as difficult. You know, you just want to see what you got. We have an experienced team, and so we always tell the guys, like, this is what you signed up for. Like, in order to, like, to be the best, you know, you got to play the best. And so, like, for us, you know, everybody knows what North Carolina is about, man. It's one of the best college programs in all of college basketball. You know, Villanova, you know, arguably has probably been the best college basketball program in the last 10 years, you know, winning two titles. The guys that they put out, Jay Wright is a legend. And so, you know, that's what you sign up for, man. You want to go against those guys and see how you stack up.
Okay. Well, Coach, we'll keep you real short. I know you're a busy, busy man. I've got two things. For one, I'm carrying that flag, that Purdue flag around Indianapolis, trying to get people to put some more damn respect. I'm tired of hearing about the red and the white that's down in Bloomington around here in Indy. Get them talking about us, you guys, a little bit more. And lastly, throughout the Crossroads family, there has been a question, because seeing you on TV, Coach, man, you got that beard jet black, looking like James Harden out there. What's the secret in that?
Man, you know, I tell the guys whenever they see a little white or gray in my beard that I was at home doing some painting. But, you know, Mother Nature, you know, she got me, so I gotta I gotta put a fresh dye job in every couple of weeks.
Man, that great as long as you don't go like Jalen Rose. As long as you don't go like Jalen Rose, man, it's all good.
Oh, shoot. Okay, perfect. John, do you have anything else?
I got to ask Brandon, man, what's the top three things that got to be missing this Thanksgiving in the Brantley household Thanksgiving?
Ooh, man. You know, I'm not a big fan of turkey, but, like, sometimes, you know, you can find some people. I know people, like, smoked the turkey. They've done some other things, like, kind of creative.
Right.
It's such a dry meat. But probably, you know, I'm a big fan of the dressing, macaroni and cheese. And I got a cousin that, like, did this roast lamb, man. It was so good. So I gotta go to Chicago to get that. So I doubt I get it. We eat over Coach Painter's house, and so he get it catered over there. So I don't know what's on the menu. I'm sure turkey is gonna be there, but to me personally, like the dressing, sweet potatoes, and the macaroni, top three.
All right.
Man, you gotta put that sweet. You got to put that sweet potato pie down as a bonus.
Yeah.
And then when you finish eating, we get on that spades table. I haven't lost a spades game in like 20 years. So.
Hey, listen, you can get your food and you don't have to worry about the Bears game because it probably ain't going to be much of a show.
Oh, my God. Man. Just ruining Thanksgiving for years.
All right, John. Anything else?
No, man. Kelly Birdsong got that caramel cake ready for you, man. Anytime, whenever we talk about man, she got it for
Kelly,
you. I promise you.
I hope Kelly listening because she's been owing me this caramel cake since 2007.
You better get it up there to West Lafayette. That.
Man.
Perfect. Well, Brandon, Coach. Congratulations this past weekend. Good luck the rest of the season. We'll be following you. I'll shout out at you on Tuesday. I'll be up there for the game against Florida State. So I'll come by.
Shoot me a text, man, and I'll come find you. You can wrap.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Coach. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you too. Have a great evening, guys.
Thanks, Brandon.
All right. That's Coach Brandon Brantley. Purdue Boilermakers, number 3 in the country. John, always good to get him. I love that. Last minute getting him on. Even though for the short time, we'll take it. He's a friend of ours.
Thanks to the producers. Thanks to the producers for getting him on.
Yeah.
Right.
I got to put the producer on. Hey, yes, apparently. Hey, you got – I was watching that first game against Carolina, and I said, damn, look at that beard, man. That thing is jet black. I said, he got to be dying in something.
Turned back time, didn't he?
Exactly. I said, well, if John ain't going to say it to him, then I will. I'll give it to him. John, do you have anything else, my man? Survivor Series was this past weekend. I thought it was I thought there was a good main event between Roman Reigns and Big E.
Yeah.
Other than that, besides Seth Rollins getting jumped on Raw.
That was crazy. I thought Survivor Series was add to. I didn't necessarily like all the finishes of the matches. I respect the performances. More so than anything else that the wrestlers put on.
We got to see
on that note. What'd you say, Brandon?
I said we got to see Vince McMahon first time he's been back since after COVID.
Yeah, came out right. But it, you know, saying hell, Survivor Series didn't necessarily keep my attention fully. So that's kind of how I gauged the grade on it. So. Outside of that, no, Brandon, like, man, great show that we had today. You know what I'm saying? It's always good chiming it up with Tanner on football and football betting and whatnot. It's always great to catch up with Coach Brantley from Purdue basketball. You can kind of talk about where they are at with their program. Man, like I said, great show. It's always good. And it was always good talking, you know what I'm saying, chiming up with you as well. I know next week when we have a show, I ain't going to say if. When we have a show, we're going to have another special guest from White River Wrestling, Mr. Jake Owen, who's a wrestler / promoter for that particular. It's a local promotion here in the Circle City. We're gonna be chatting up with Jake. Like I said, his name is Jake Owen. You know what I'm saying? We're gonna learn a whole lot about about the wrestling thing here in Indianapolis. But other than that, man, like I said, dude.
You want to give a shout out?
On who?
Papa Esco.
Oh, yeah. How could I forget Papa Esco? Yeah, a friend of the program, Papa Esco, won his first, you know what I'm saying, first major singles title in the United Wrestling Network television champion. We'll have to get him on here pretty soon as well, man. But so, like, yeah, we're going into that time where, you know what I'm saying, where, you know what I'm saying, some of our friends of the program with a little bit higher resumes, bigger, better resumes than King of Trolls, Reggie Sykes, who's missed a couple of shows. Last couple of weeks, man. He's been missing the action, man.
He's too busy watching the King play tonight. I understand. He wants to watch the King.
Yeah, he's ducking us, man. So, but like, no, man, like I said, I think we had another great show tonight, man. We're going to continue doing it. I want to say thank you to all our callers. I want to say thank you to all the folks who chimed in on Facebook Live that we had while we had it, right? We'll get that those technical difficulties figured out. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Sometimes technology don't want to talk to other technology for whatever reason, but we'll get that figured out because that's a critical point to our show. I want to say thank you to Wiseman Logistics, our sponsors, Wiseman Logistics, our other sponsor, Maverick Custom Motorsports. Dude, it's a tongue twister. I love it. And also Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance. Dude, we couldn't do that. We couldn't do this show without them. So, again, you know what I'm saying? You support our show by listening to us. That's great. Continue to support our show by clicking on our sponsors, see what services they have that you might be interested in. So, outside of that, Brandon, take us out, bro.
Yeah, great show. Thanks, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving. Get a lot of food. Get your belly full. Get some drinks. Enjoy the football tomorrow. Enjoy it this weekend, and we'll see y'all next week. Happy Thanksgiving, John.
Happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content. We'll